Yufuling in the Andes Mountains in the 60s. This extract is from the book of Victor Kaptanovic from northern Peru, who worked as an electrical engineer in the central hydroelectric plant at Huallanca on the banks of the Santa River in the beautiful Cordon de Huelas. There he was witness to UFOs at many cases, as well as how the people on board, the pilots, was in regular contact with the local Indians. Sometime he was witness to how those UFO people, as the locals called gods, came and healed the sick of them. This happened on the March 10, 1960, he tell in his book, when he and a local was out in the mountains hunting, and they came to a hut with the local shepherds by, then let's us go where they are. I said, and we went. Soon we arrived at the hut. Two dogs came out to meet us. One of the shepherds got up, calmed the dogs and came up to us. I greeted him, and he extended his hand without speaking. This one does not understand Spanish. Speaks only Quechua, no more, Quisp hurriedly communicated to me. Tell him we are hunting pumas, and for that we have come to ask so that they may orient us, as we have heard said that in this region they are killing cattle. The campesino understood some of my words and he showed some happiness. He spoke to Quisp in Quechua and extended his hand enthusiastically. The sudden change of manner of the campesino made me understand that the pumas had caused damage, and that our offer was accepted. This was a positive way to achieve communication. The campesino invited us to come closer to the fire and sit down with them. There were three women, several men and two children who hid behind their mothers, like they were afraid of us. This made me uncomfortable and I pondered how to solve this inconvenience. Then I remembered that I had some caramels in my pocket, and I withdrew to and offered them to the little ones. The man who received us spoke to the children, but they did not respond. One of the women took the caramels and offered them to the little ones. She thanked me. Suddenly she furrowed her brow and looked sad, and a tear rose on her face and by the cold of the Andes. This worried me and I urged Quisp to ask about the reason for the sadness. One of the men, understanding my worry, came over to my side and in a lowered voice, said, "Sir, thank you for the pain that you feel. She is crying because she has a sick child. Some 9 days ago this boy went to the mountain, climbed a rock, lost his balance and fell, breaking his right arm and some ribs." The man spoke in very poorly pronounced Spanish, but I understood and he asked if he could take me to see the boy. I accepted, and without consulting the woman he invited me into the cabin. We entered, the campesino, Quisp and I. The scene, unfortunately, horrified me. On the floor, on a pallet of hay, covered with a wool blanket made by hand, lay the child. His swollen face had taken on a bluish color by the infections, his eyes half closed, his mouth half open, and with his tongue and lips swollen, looked terrible. The campesino pulled me to the boy's side and I touched the part of his wrist to feel the pulse. I became still more alarmed. Not knowing whether for my desperation, little experience, or for some other phenomenon unknown to me, I felt no heartbeat in the arteries. I deduced from this that the little one had entered a state of coma. Despite the hospital in Huallanca being many kilometers from that place, I decided to try to take the child, as soon as possible, to the doctors for treatment. I mentioned this to Quisp, and asked him to explain to the mother our offer. Meanwhile, as I planned how to undertake the transfer of the patient to the hospital, the campesino advised the mother of the little one about my determination. This then infuriated her. She came into the house desperately determined and shouted at Quisp, threatening him with her finger, and grabbed me by my arm and pulled me outside with inexplicable force. She fell to the ground. I stood there stunned, and thought that my intention had offended some custom of those people. I felt fear, perhaps she would attack me. I reflected, and called to Quisp that we should leave that place. With this the mother of the boy came out of the house again, came to my side and began to shout and gesticulate, and putting her hands on my face. The only words that I can remember, without knowing their significance were, "Mamán, Tata, Mamán." Ptidios. Quisp came over to me and said, "Do not fear, sir. The mother of the child says that the gods from the sky will come and cure her son, and that we should leave him alone." This calmed my nerves a little, and I believed that she meant that some witch would come and cure her boy, utilizing fire and smoke and incantations, etc. "Shall we wait and meet the gods?" Quisp asked, and waited for my decision. "Yes, sir, please. You are going to see something very interesting, I assure you, and what you see you will like," he suggested with enthusiasm. "Very well, Quisp, we will wait for the presence of the gods," I said with an expression of lightly joking. A dog came up to me with his ears down and wagging his tail in a signal of friendship. I petted it, and it licked my hand. We became friends. Following the dog, a little boy came and sat by my side. He spoke with emotion in Quechua, which I did not understand, but it seemed to me that he was saying something about his dog. I tried to initiate a conversation with the little one. Despite our not knowing each other, the purity of the little child originated a sincere desire for friendship. This is the only time in the life of us humans in which we react with uncorrupted sentiments. I thought at that instant. I caressed the child and the dog, and called to Quisp to help me with interpretation. Very soon we were approached by another child and we began to talk about the rain, the wind, the trees, sky and moon. Meanwhile, several minutes had passed without my awareness. The sky clouded over and the overcast became big dark storm clouds. Despite my not understanding the language of the children, nor them mine, the conversation developed in perfect harmony. They spoke of the fields, the birds, animals and flowers, and I explained to them for what purpose served the carbine, how to handle it and its construction. One of them looked at me seriously and said, "My friend, why do they kill animals? Is it by the order of the owner?" While I concentrated on forming an adequate response that could explain to the child the reason for taking the life of a being to eat its flesh, the dogs barked and ran to the other end of the pampa where the cattle were pastured. Quisp grabbed me by the shoulder brusquely. "Look there, sir," he shouted in desperation, and I turned my head in the direction indicated and saw that an apparatus similar to a small airplane was descending vertically from the clouds. It landed among the goats and sheep without making any sound. It was of a color different from the flying discs I had seen before. I thought of some military maneuvers and waited the disembarkation of some soldiers to talk to them. Soon, from the interior of the ship came one of those strangers. He was dressed the bodysuit with which I was familiar, but its cut was different from what I had seen before. This one had shoulders like our own, with a pronounced hip, and was of smaller stature. It came toward us without stepping on the grass, moving in the air some centimeters above the ground. "Why do you walk in that manner?" asked Quisp, confused. "It is said so as not to damage the cells of the meadow grass by stepping on them," responded the being in a serious tone and smiling. The dogs ran to the stranger and it petted them. The cattle remained contented, as if they were already familiar with the stranger. While the stranger came toward us, I noticed that Quisp and all the campesinos were kneeling with their palms together in front of their faces, which were inclined toward the ground. It seemed like a religious ceremony. That surprised me, but also clarified the unknown statement about the arrival of the gods which the mother of the boy had told me 1 hour earlier. Oh, and I noticed that the visitor was of the white race, and this confirmed my suspicions that they must be spies. Upon observing with more attention, I came to understand that the visitor was a woman, because I could see the rise of her breasts. She made a signal for the campesinos to get up, and they obeyed without delay. The visitor went toward the house without speaking to anybody, entered, and then came out carrying the child in her arms. She took him to the ship without delay. All present remained there in silence, but on the faces of those shepherds I noted an expression of joy. "What is happening?" I asked Quisp in a low voice, and interrupting the silence of the moment. He did not answer. This augmented still more my uneasiness, and I momentarily thought that my companion had united with the Kazanpeasians to cause me some harm. Fortunately, I carried my carbine, and I released the safety and remained alert. The minutes passed in the silence that dominated the place. Only the dogs moved around me, and a sheep bawled suddenly. These were the only manifestations that broke the silence and tension. For a moment I thought that those strangers had in their ship, surgical rooms and other necessary resources to treat the sick and injured, and that they brought them to attract the innocent campesinos, presenting themselves as gods. While I waited for the unknown to return, the boy bandaged and unconscious, before my very eyes appeared a scene unbelievable, illogical and singular. Suddenly I saw that the boy descended alone from the ladder of the ship, and upon touching the ground ran towards us, reaching down to pick up a stone, and thus showing his perfect state of health. For having seen him when he was swollen, I did not recognize him now and thought that he must be another boy, a member of the crew, perhaps. Then I waited for the reaction of the mother of the child. The little boy had not covered half the distance from the ship to us, when his mother ran towards him shouting in emotion. All present embraced and gave shouts of joy. Quisp, with the dogs also, ran toward the mother of the boy with jumps of joy. When all returned to calmness, I asked the mother to let me examine the boy. Quisp acted as interpreter and the woman accepted. I approached the little one, now with his face smiling and of natural color, with the swelling gone and looking perfectly healthy. I touched his arm, before badly fractured, and began to examine him rib by rib. Despite those cases having altered my tranquility, I tried to look as serene as possible, to observe what I was examining. Who knows how they affected this cure, but I could find no evidence of surgery on his arm. The boy showed no abnormality in his body as shown by his smile, his agility and the urgency of his mother to give him something to eat. While I was examining the resuscitated patient, which surprised me about what had just happened, the strange nurse, with a companion, was among us. They smiled and with a look expressing respect and friendship, tried to explain to the campesinos that those benefits achieved must be memorized in order to imitate them when necessary. And for this they asked no thank you, no payments, no praise or flattery. They spoke in what seemed to me to be Quechua, because once in a while they laughed with the campesinos until they teared, but soon I also heard the conversation in my own mother language, as if some device was translating the words, simultaneously, into the various languages. I spoke to Quisp about this. Do you understand what they are saying? I asked. Yes, I clearly understand, he responded. In what language are they speaking? I don't hear them well. I asked Quisp again, to assure myself that they were truly speaking what I perceived. They speak in their own language and also in all the others at the same time, he responded with a gesture of affirmation.